Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Romans chapter 15, verses 14 through 17. The Reverend Craig Niemeyer is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The word of the Lord from the book of Romans, chapter 15, verses 14 and following. I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge and able to instruct one another. But on some points I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder because of the grace given to me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God. The word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. In the saving name of Jesus, amen. Easter proclaims into a broken world new life in the name of Jesus. He lives beyond sin in the grave. And part of the wonderful parts is that by the word he has spoken to us in the waters of baptism, he has promised to take us along with him. What a wonderful part of our Easter joy that we get to go in these bodies of ours where the incarnate Jesus is ever headed with his. And you can ask yourself the question, was there ever a time when his earthly ministry, when he was not engaged in projects that were helping the hurting? Right, as a part of his new creation by grace, we love as God in Christ loves us. And we do so, as some of my colleagues on the board for national missions are in town for a few days, kind of having a little bit of an intensive focus, working on a mission priority that reminds us, and is, I believe, a blessing to Synod as well, to say that we do works of mercy in close proximity to word and sacrament ministry. Kind of a nice reminder there, especially on the basis of what Paul is saying to us in Romans chapter 15, right? That because it's in the gospel that we discover that our bodies and lives are wholly acceptable and pleasing to the God that we serve. I mean, right? We love as we are loved, but then again, in the Christian church, it's not as if we simply have a corner on the market of works of mercy. You know this from practical experience, that somewhere near you in a community close to home, the local Lions Club has just wrapped up the springtime auction, the benefits going to serve the underprivileged family in the wider region. We see it especially at the times of natural disaster when the springtime tornado arrives unannounced. The summer floods don't ask our permission before ascending the banks of the river. And as we shoulder to shoulder and side by side work in those locations, striving to beat back a little bit of that chaos, to bring a little bit of order again to that location and place, we do so. Not just next to Lutherans, not only nearby to Christians, but it's a whole variety of others who show up with hard hat on head and chainsaw in hand. We love, as God in Christ loves, going where he goes, out into the world, bringing hope, offering help, aiming to heal as living parts of his ever-moving body. And we do so ever mindful of their need and ours for an ever greater mercy. That's the gospel. that the Apostle Paul is bending over backwards to boast about in our reading from Romans 15 today. The good news of God's love in Jesus Christ, but at this point, not just any old good news, not just the news that the holes on the wall have finally been repaired so the family can move back in, or that the adoption papers have finally been signed so that orphan Annie has a proper home. As wonderful as all of that news is, and reason for rejoicing, yet still, creation groans. And while we watch and wait for our ascended Lord to return, we hold our breath just a little bit, wondering about the timing of the next impending disaster. Right? It's in the gospel that our hearts are tethered to an eternally greater assurance. The word in which we believe and the promise and the word of hope that we want to offer to others as well. In describing himself today as a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel, Romans 15:16, Paul kind of pushes beyond and past some of the barriers of those externals and gets to the heart of the matter. Reminds us there that it's not only the biggest bridge that needs to be repaired is not the one that's sagging on the edge of town. But oh, what great devastation we have brought into the world. What destruction has come into our lives and to others because we, by our sin, have participated in the rebellion against God's good created order. And the bridge that covers that great gaping gap is as wide and as tall as the wooden beams that welcomed the outstretched arms of Jesus. As Paul says elsewhere in Romans, that if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more so now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Doubt it not, but cherish in the promise that by his wounds we are healed. He is risen, and it means that today the Father has accepted what Jesus has delighted in our place. What was the refrain that could be heard sounding in the Jordan River Valley at the time of his baptism, and it was repeated again on the mountaintop of the Transfiguration where his divinity shone with great glory. The Father beaming over his Son to say, "This is my Son. Listen to him. He's the one in whom I take great delight." And that same joyful delight echoes out of the empty Easter tomb in the body of Jesus, who is risen indeed. God takes great delight for you and for the world in what Jesus has done in our place. And God takes great delight in all who are in his Son through faith in the promise. That's the message of the gospel. Makes me think a little bit about the project that grandparents have been working to complete with their granddaughter. Hanging in the fridge or maybe on prominent display out there in the kitchen, it is not by most standards a Picasso. As a matter of fact, the art critic could roll in and find all kinds of reasons to nitpick at the color palette chosen and the awkward ratio of the big balloon head to the long stringy arms. Unacceptable. But that's not Grandma and Grandpa's words. To them, that piece of work could not be more precious. It's beautiful to them, pleasing and acceptable. Because of whose it is. This is. And who are you? And whose are you? And what does the gospel have to say about that? Right. Paul, at the very beginning of Romans, told us that he's not ashamed of the gospel because it's the very good news of God unto salvation for all who believe, both for Jew and for Gentile. And now in the waning chapters, he's right back at it again and really probably never left. Certainly never left. Boasting in the ministry of the gospel. Telling us in verse 17 that the offering of chapter 15, that the offering of the Gentiles becomes acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And he's not talking there about coins and dollars dropped into the offering plate, although those are good too. But it's the entire person and the entire body, the Gentiles, right alongside with the Jews, who by believing in Jesus through faith in the promise have become pleasing, acceptable to God. And so, there probably is some particular wisdom in remaining tethered to the only mercy that finally saves. The gospel, at heart, our truest treasure. For it announces that you are his, totally loved, completely accepted and delighted in because of the Jesus who has come to save. Again, in his saving name. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds through faith in Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. Broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.